it is prophetic. It is what God has really been, as we were seeking the Lord and asking God and fasting, praying, and Lord, what is it that you have this year? And, you know, people, they come and, you know, for churches every year, you know, you come with the you have vision for the year, like a lot of people with 2020 vision. Obviously that's a part of it, and that's a part of it for us as well. But God really dropped in my heart that it's our now year for a lot of different reasons. Amen. So why don't you just right now tell somebody it's my now year. And I want you to grab your Bibles and open them up to the book of Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. And I want you to, I'm not going to be long this morning, okay, but here's the deal. I want you to stay engaged. Some of you look like you had too many carnitas on, just kidding, go somebody. Some people know how to make carnitas up in here. But listen, stay engaged. This preacher likes you to preach back at him, amen? So stay engaged, stay excited, and I believe God has a word for you this morning. And then also, if you notice right here to my left, right there to the left of that TV screen, we have a cross, amen? A cross that is there. And so this whole month, as we're praying and fasting, if you would like to place your prayer requests, you could even put your prayer requests up there on a sticky note. We'll have something up there as well that perhaps you could just grab and write your prayer requests and place it on there. I know this Friday, the women, they shut themselves in and they prayed, amen, and they were lifting up their needs to God. So if you have prayer requests, you could put them there. And as we pray and our, whether it's our Wednesday service or the prayer team comes and prays, we're going to be lifting up those needs to God and believing God for miracles. Somebody say praise the Lord to that. Amen. So this morning, Isaiah 43, beginning in verse 18, and we're going to read verse 18 and 19. And the Bible reads like this. And then later we're going to read a couple other scriptures in Joshua. Somebody say it's my now year. The Bible reads like this. It says, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing." In a different version, it says like this. It says, "But forget all that." It says, "But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do." Come on, somebody. He says, "For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun." So it goes on. It says, "Now it shall spring forth." Somebody say, it's my now year. Now it shall spring forth. It says, "Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." That means that God specializes in making a way even where there seems to be no way. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, God, this morning, we thank you for your word. We just pray that you would speak to your people. God, our hearts are open. Our ears are open. We are ready. We're even preparing ourselves. We're praying, we're fasting, God, this month intentionally, because we believe 2020 is our now year. So God, I pray, speak to your people this morning, God. Ignite, revive, do whatever you want to do, God. Have your way in this place, God. And God, we'll be careful to let you, God, we'll be careful to give you all the glory and all the honor for all you're about to do. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus, and everybody says amen and amen. Before you're seated, say it's my now year. And you go ahead and be seated this morning. Praise the Lord. It's our now year. And 2020 also, God is going to give you some 2020 vision. Somebody say amen to that. And not only vision, vision of how you can see, but it's also what you're going to see. What do you want to see this year? The things that you're going to see, it's going to be the 2020 vision of what you're going to see this year God do. What you're going to see through the eyes of faith that God gives you. What you're going to see through the eyes of prayer as you go before the Lord. What God is going to begin to show you. And what you're going to see God do with your eyes. What you're going to see Him do this year in 2020. See, God is moving now. Somebody say amen. God has been moving. God is moving now. And He's not just going to move. You know, we know, and the Word is speaking of things He's going to do, but He's not just going to do something. God is moving now. Come on, somebody. He is moving. I have a couple questions, and I want to leave them with you until the end of service. And it's these two questions, and it's this: what do you want to do for God this year? And also, what do you want to see God do this year? What do you want to do for God this year, and what do you want to see God do this year? You know, something really ministered to me the other day. And I was thinking, it was something really ministered to me, and it was thinking about last year and then going into this year, right? And it really spoke to me, like came right to home, like exactly where I was at. It really spoke to me, and I really believe it's going to speak to you this morning. And this is what it said. Listen to this. This is powerful. It says, you have seen victories in the past. Trials, troubles, and tribulations came our way. Somebody say amen to that. But the Lord saw you through them to a place of victory. Like the ancient Israelites, you had your back up against a wall on more than one occasion. Hello, somebody. But the Lord opened up ways for you where there were no ways, and the people causing trouble for you disappeared like Pharaoh's army under the waves. Wow, somebody, you're happy. A lot of haters disappeared, huh? Some of you had haters disappeared. You're like, oh, hit something there. Go on, I feel it. Go on, hit it. Okay, let's move on. So the people causing trouble, you've disappeared like Pharaoh's army under the waves. But these verses say, forget all that. The Lord is about to do something new in your life. This is powerful. Listen to this. That will make the victories that came before seem like nothing. The troubles are many and the enemies are strong, but the Lord is about to go into action on your behalf in ways you never thought or imagined were possible. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand clap for that this morning, and somebody shout, it's my now year. You know, when you look at now year, I was breaking down looking at the definition of the word now. Right? Whoa, wow, what a heavy word, right now, right? But I was looking at the word now, and the definition of now is at the present time or moment, because it really is heavy when you think about it. It means at the present time or moment. In other words, it's the year of the here and now. It's the year of inheriting. It's the year of possessing. It's the year of changing. It's the year of growing. Somebody say, it's my now year. That word now, it means at this moment. It means without further delay, no delays. It's the year of no more delays. It means this. It means immediately and it means at once. In the Hebrew, that word in that scripture, Isaiah 43, that word now, it's atah, which means henceforth, now, it means this time. In other words, there was a lot of years that you did what you were supposed to do. You prayed, you believed, you stood strong. But this time, and there's a lot of years that you did what you were supposed to do, but maybe you didn't see certain promises come to pass, but it means, but this time, that word now means, but this time. This time, last year, you did things and maybe you didn't see things come to pass, but this time it's going to be different. Come on, somebody. Last year, maybe the breakthrough that you were praying for didn't come to pass, but this time, come on, somebody, how many know you're going to see that breakthrough come to pass? And not only that, but you have to understand that God has no problem doing what he does for us on the outside. See, God always builds the man on the inside. He builds the woman on the inside before he does what he has to do on the outside. Because God has no problem doing what he has to do out here. God can do the impossible out here. God's greatest work is what he does inside of your life. That's why you went through some trials. That's why you went through some obstacles. That's why you went through some things that were difficult, that you wondered why in the world were you going through some things, because God was preparing you. And before those things, you may have been doing your best, you may have been faithful, but God still had to do some more preparation in your life. But he's saying, now that I've done some preparation in your life, now that you've gone through some things and seen that I'm able to carry you through, he says, this time, come on somebody, in our now year in 2020, this time, you're going to see it come to pass. It means already. Somebody say, it's my now year. It's our now time to inherit, to grow, to challenge. Like Brother Ray said, to step out. God has there's leaders in this place, and it's your now year to step up and to lead. It's your now year for your breakthrough. Somebody say amen. You're going to see with eyes of faith this year with your 2020 vision. You're going to see with your eyes what God is going to do this year within your life. It's our now year to multiply. How many want to see multiplication take place within our church? Come on, somebody. How many want to possess the promises of God within our church? Come on, somebody. It's our time to step out. It's our time to shift. It's our time to believe on Jesus like never before. If God called you to be sent out, it's your year to get prepared to be sent out to another city, to another nation, to another country, to pastor in a different place. Come on, somebody. And so it's our now year It's our now to possess. To possess the things that God has for our lives. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And this morning, first thing I want to mention is that it's our now year to cross that river. Somebody say, cross that river. Are we people, this is a question this morning I want to give you, is are we people who live by faith or by sight? Are we afraid to cross the river, or are we willing to take the risk and live by faith? In Joshua chapter 1 and in Joshua chapter 3 is some scriptures that God spoke to Joshua. In chapter 1, he says this. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. He says, now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. How many know that's powerful? Somebody say that's powerful. He said, you're going to go, you're going to cross over, you're going to possess this land. And he says, every place that the sole of your foot treads upon, he says, I've given you. He says, no one shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Joshua chapter 3, then this is what happens. Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. Somebody say, it's my now year. So there's a few things this morning that you need to know, I believe, that will be foundational to you understanding your now year better. And the first thing you need to know about is you need to know about the Ark. When you look there in the book of Joshua and it says the Ark of the Covenant, you need to know about the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was the piece of furniture that God directed Moses to build and to place in the middle of the tent of meeting in the Holy of Holies. Right? This is the place where they would atone for the people's sins. It was a place where only the priests and certain priests, high priests, were able to step in and do sacrifices and go in there to that place. It was where God was. It was the Holy of Holies. And the Ark of the Covenant stood in that place. And in the Ark of the Covenant rested the presence of God. The Ark was an Old Testament representation of what was going to be fulfilled in the New Testament. Somebody say amen. In other words, the Holy Spirit, the presence of God that they had in the ark and that they carried and went before them, well, now the presence of God, because of what Jesus did for us on the cross over 2,000 years ago, come on somebody, the Holy Spirit and the presence of God is with you and I. So the Ark was that Old Testament representation of what was going to be fulfilled in the New Testament. Number two, the Ark was God's dwelling place. It was a place where God met with Moses. It was a place where God met with man. Somebody say amen. The Ark also gave power and victory to the people when they were engaged in battle. Come on, somebody. So when they were engaged in battle and they would go out and fight enemies, and a lot of times, just like you, when the odds are against you, a lot of time when the people of God would go out, Israel would go out and they would fight different nations and different armies. How many know? A lot of the time there was a lot more of the opposition than there were of the people of God. A lot of times they were outnumbered. A lot of times they were outpowered. A lot of times the enemies had more weapons. A lot of times it just looked like the other team was going to win. Come on, somebody. But when they would bring the Ark of the Covenant and it would go before the presence of the people, come on, somebody. How many know that somehow, some way, even when it looked like they didn't have a chance to win, God brought about the victory with inside of their lives? That's what the Ark did. It gave power and victory to the people when they were engaged in battle. Just like when God speaks to you and I and he says, the battle is not yours, but the battle is the Lord's. Just like when Jehoshaphat and the people of God stepped out and they were ready to battle and it looked like, man, what are we going to do in this battle? It looks like a big battle. Are we able to win? Then God just told them, I want you to just stand there and just worship God and praise God. And as they worship God and as they praise God, God confused the enemy. They killed themselves on the battlefield and they stood there because God was faithful to their lives. The presence of God means everything. And that's what the Ark represented. It's the presence of God. That's why we always purpose that we don't want to go anywhere. We don't want to do anything unless it's the Lord that goes before us. There's a lot of good things to do, but we only want to do what God told us to do and step where God stepped before us in the first place. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand clap if you know that God is faithful to go before us and give us the victory. And the fourth thing that the ark did is that it gave power and victory to the people when they were engaged in battle. I already said that. I'm sorry. The fourth thing it did is it also gave them direction. Somebody say direction. In other words, wherever the ark went, they followed. Come on, somebody. Wherever the ark moved, they moved. And Joshua, he tells them, don't get too close to it and don't get too far from it. He says, don't go ahead of it. He told them to walk a certain amount of distance away from the Ark of the Covenant. And he said, the reason why I want you to walk a certain distance away from the Ark of the Covenant, is because where you're going, you've never been there before. Come on, somebody. I don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I mean, you know, somebody, when you've been a million places, you could almost get there blindfolded, even in your car. Come on, somebody. Don't try it, right? Don't say Pastor told me to try to drive blindfolded. But he's saying you're going to a place that you've never been before. I want you to know that God, in 2020, this year spiritually, you're going to go to a place that you've never been before. You're going to see God do things that you've never seen God do before. You're going to see God move in the supernatural like you've never seen God move in the supernatural before. Come on, somebody. Is there anybody here that still believes that God is still able to do greater things? Is there anybody here this morning that still believes that the best is yet to come? The best is yet to come. You ain't seen nothing yet. You've barely just scratched the surface. Yes, God has done great things within your life, but it is nothing compared to what God wants to do within your future. Because God always takes you from glory to glory. So he gave them direction. Wherever the ark went, they followed. Now we have Jesus. Come on, somebody. Now we have the Holy Spirit. Now we have the Word of God. It gives us direction. Somebody say amen. So this morning, I want to give you, just real quick before I'm finished, is I want to give you, give you just a little bit of history and context. We're talking about exactly this portion of Scripture so you could get an understanding and God give you an understanding for your now year. Are you still with me this morning? Stay with me because I'm going somewhere, okay? You also need to know this morning about the Jordan. You need to know about the Ark, but you need to know about the Jordan. Somebody say the Jordan. See, the Jordan River was the imaginary line that separated the Israelites from the Promised Land. To reach the Promised Land, they had to cross that river. Tell your neighbor, cross that river. Now, when it comes to the Jordan River, through most of the year in that time, the Jordan River was only like a little stream that was easily crossed, right? It wasn't that big. You could cross over it, right? You were able to cross over it, walk over it. However, during the harvest season, the river transformed from a small stream into a mighty river that would overflow and it would flood the surrounding plain. Amen? It was just an enormous river, rushing river that there's no way you could cross, right? And so guess when God chose for the Israelites to cross the river? Come on, somebody, talk to me this morning. It'll minister to you. Come on, somebody. That's right. When the river, he chose them to cross over when the river was at flood stage. Come on, somebody. Now, why do you think God did that? I don't know, man. That's what I'm trying to figure out. That's what I was trying to figure out in 2019. Amen. It's the same reason why when you were going through what you were going through, when you went through what you went through, when it seemed unbearable, it seemed like it was going to destroy you, it seemed like, how in the world am I going to get out of it? The same reason why you were going through that season in your life, God told you to step out and do something now at that time when it seemed like it didn't make sense for you to step out, but he told you to step out anyway. You said, God, why now? Why now of all times? I know you're always like that, right? That illustration, you're always like the golfer waiting for the wind. The perfect time to take that swing. Okay, I'm going to go, but just wait. I'm waiting for the right time. And you get positioned, and you're ready. And then, hold on, you're not ready. And wait, but I'm still waiting for this to line up, and I'm still waiting for that to line up. Come Come on, somebody. You're waiting for the perfect time. You're waiting for the perfect moment. And sometimes it is at the moment where it makes the least sense that God tells you to step out and do what he called you to do, because he's the God of the incredible. He's the God of the amazing. And he wants to show up with inside of your life. He wants to show up and show you that it's him. He wants to show up and show you that he is the God that goes before you. That it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit of the living God. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand clap this morning if you know it's only by the grace of God. The promised land was the goal the Israelites were striving for. Somebody say amen. When they left Egypt, they had this dream of a land flowing with milk and honey. Come on, somebody. How many know when you left Egypt, right? When God saved you, God delivered you. You were just happy to be free, right? Come on, somebody. How many remember when God set you free, right? Weren't you just happy to be free? You wanted to do whatever God wanted you to do. Go wherever God wanted you to go. Be whoever God wanted you to be. Is there anybody here this morning that God delivered, that God set free out of some things that when you came out of that Egypt that you were in, you said, God, my life belongs to you? And as they stepped out, and as you step out of that, that land of milk and honey, or you step out and it was that, that they had that dream, they were striving for that land for milk and honey. Wow, what does it say? Lost my train of thought. I do that sometimes. Working on it. Doing brain exercises. Anyway. So, what did I just say? Huh? Oh, yeah, out of Egypt, right? So, out of Egypt, promised land. Praise the Lord. But it was going to be their destiny. This was a dream that when they came out of Egypt, it was going to be their destiny. That's what I was going to say, is that God delivered you. You just wanted to do whatever God wanted you to do. But then soon thereafter, God began to give you dreams. Nobody, none of you, God gave you dreams. None of you, God gave you visions. None of you, God began to place in your heart that there was something that he wanted you to do for him that you would have never thought or imagined, that you thought was only for somebody else. But then God said, no, it's for you. And so you were set free, wanted to, and then all of a sudden God began to give you dreams and visions and promises of what God wanted you to do. And this is where they were at. They had left the land of Egypt. They had this dream of the land of milk and honey. It was going to be their destiny. But somehow, just like you and I, tell your neighbor he's talking to you this morning. Somehow they expected the journey to the promised land to be easy. Huh. And when it didn't turn out the way that they, when it didn't turn out that way, when it wasn't easy, when it didn't happen the way they thought it would happen, they complained. I know I ain't preaching to nobody in this church. I must be preaching to the church down the street. I must be in the wrong place. Huh? When it didn't turn out that way, they complained. When the spies came back with stories of giants in the promised land, their dream turned into dust. But it wasn't the facts. It wasn't the facts of the giants. It wasn't the facts of the enemies that dried up their dreams. You know what it was? It was their unbelief. It was their unbelief. So only Caleb and Joshua were going to cross over. Everyone else was going to die. Their children are the ones. All those people were going to die, right? They were going to die. They weren't going to cross over because of their unbelief. Just Joshua and Caleb. And so their children, these people that didn't believe, he said, you're not going to cross over then. You're going to die in the wilderness. So now their children are the ones who now stood at the banks of the Jordan River, looking across at the promised land, looking across at the land, looking across at the destiny, seeing it clearer than it had ever been seen by the people of God. The question was this, and this is a question that I want you to think about this morning, was would they as a generation cross over? Or would they be as rebellious as their fathers had been? Huh? That's a question we have to ask ourselves. Come on, somebody. Because how many know that we are the generation that God has called to cross over and to inherit the promises that God gave to our fathers and our fathers' fathers and all those that labored and believed and did up to this point? And how many know that we are the generation that is supposed to cross over and inherit the promises of God? The question that every individual in this place has to ask themselves is, are they going to be the generation that crosses over, or are they going to be the part of the generation that is as unbelieving as the previous were? Come on, somebody. One more thing to know. Praise God. Preach. I told you to preach back at me. One more thing to know is this, that the Old Testament was written primarily in Hebrew, right? I'll give you a little bit this morning, trying to give you some food for your brain. Come on, somebody. A little food for thought. Come on, somebody. You're like, that's enough. So the Old Testament was written primarily in Hebrew. It's always difficult, right, to translate, because there's a lot of different, you know, syntax and meanings, and it's like our language is really limited. Like one word in Hebrew means like four or five words of ours. It's like, that's why like we say, you know, words cannot express. Well, probably in Hebrew you probably could express. You could, because it's just more word, it's more meaning. It's like, oh, but our language is limited, so you can't really. You know, that's why sometimes there's a loss of words, right? But so it was written in, but still the translators, they've done an amazing job. That's why when you read your word, I mean, they've done an amazing job. You're reading very, very close to the actual original meaning of what was the word of God. Regardless of what, you know, unless there's some crazy, version that is not, you know, endorsed, whatever. Some, I don't know if there's some crazy versions, but the regular versions that you see that most of your Bibles have, that is still, this is the still inerrant, complete Word of God. Come on, somebody. This is complete. This is all you need for your life. There's nothing missing from it. There's nothing that needs to be added from it. There's nothing that was changed at all. It doesn't make it the Word of God. This is the complete Word of God, unchanged. It's all you need. It's unerrant, amen, for your life. It's all you need for your life, for life and godliness. Somebody say praise the Lord and give the Lord a hand clap if you thank God for His Word. Come on, somebody. But there's a couple Hebrew words that I want to show you about. And the first word is Nasa, amen, N-A-C-A, but it's pronounced Nasa. And it's translated into English, and it has to do with these verses we read, and it's translated into English as set out. Somebody say set out. The word is used over and over in the book of Numbers, okay? But during the time in the wilderness, they were led by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. How many remember that, amen? And so if the cloud lifted, then they would step out, right? Nasa, they would step out. And so the other word is Abar, and it is translated into English to pass over. Tell your neighbor you got to cross that river. It means pass over or to cross over. The word is most used in the book of Joshua. In this chapter in Joshua, God is telling the people to Abar, to cross over the Jordan River. It means something different, right, than Nasa. So what kind of people, now that I broke that down, I want to ask you a question this morning. With that in mind, what kind of people are we? Are we Nasa people or are we Abar people? Well, what do you mean, Pastor? Okay, let me explain it to you. Nasa people are seen in the lives of the Israelites who came out of Egypt, who were under Moses, who lived out the remainder of their lives wandering around in the wilderness because God didn't allow them to enter the promised land. Okay, that's the Nasa people. How would you describe them? Well, let me give you some things, because this is what you have to understand for your now year. How would you describe the Nasa people, the ones that died in the wilderness, the ones that didn't cross over, okay? How would you describe them? Number one is this, they're afraid of the unknown, right? They're afraid of the unknown. Tell your neighbor he's talking to you this morning. In other words, their fear paralyzed them from moving into the promised land and claiming their inheritance. Number two, with those Nasa people, another thing about them is that they doubted God's power. Come on, somebody. They had witnessed God's power. Somebody say amen. They had seen the deliverance out of Egypt. They have seen God rip open the Red Sea, and they crossed over, and the Egyptians died in the middle of the Red Sea. They had seen the power of God. And yet, in the midst of that, with that in their lives, they doubted God's power. They had witnessed God's power, but the giants in the land still seemed bigger than God to them. These are Nasa people. Their fear, number three, is they're fearful of change. What kind of a person are you this morning? Are you a Nasa person or an Abar person? They were fearful of change. How many know we don't always like change? I don't always like change. I don't always like change. You know, and I want to say this before I forget, because for some reason I'm forgetting things this morning. This year I feel in my heart, I really need to grow this year. Like, this is what God's been really impressing. I need to grow, and I need to grow, and I need to grow. I need to do things in my life to grow, put myself in places to grow. I need to grow this year. I feel like God is giving me the green light, Robert, to go and grow. Somebody say amen. But they're fearful of change. How many times had they complained about their circumstances? Come on, somebody. How many times did they ask to be taken back to Egypt? Oh, I would have been better off if you would have just left me there in Egypt under Pharaoh. Would you really? Would you really have been better off? You know how many people think they're better off, and then when they end up finding themselves back in Egypt, they realize they were not better off. Come on, somebody. They realize they're miserable in Egypt. They realize they're a slave in Egypt. They realize even if it was a little bit harder outside of Egypt, at least I was free. At least I was serving God. At least I had God inside of my life. Come on, somebody. Give the Lord a good hand clap if you thank God for his faithfulness with inside of your life. They asked to be taken back to Egypt, back into slavery. Take me back. Take me back to where I was comfortable. I know there ain't no Christians like that up in here. I know that's not here in this place. Come on, somebody. That's how they were. That's how these people were, the ones that died in the wilderness. I was better off. Take me back to where I was comfortable. Take me back to where I was better off. Come on, somebody. Were you really better off? The fourth thing about Nasa people is that they were wanderers in the wilderness. Okay, so this means this. Imagine living out the remaining years of your life doing the same thing over and over again. But you know what's crazy? Is that we do that. Oh yeah, I know it's quiet in here. But you know that we do that? And we live out, just like I love what Brother Ray said. Thank you for that word, Ray. Thank you for that. Because you know what? At the end of our life, we realize that we spent a lot of years, all of our years, just like those Israelites did, doing the same thing over and over again. We do that. And you know why? Because of unbelief. And so God had no choice but to let them wander in the wilderness until that whole generation was dead. Somebody say that's deep. Now, Abar people, okay, now I'm going to encourage you a little bit here this morning. Come on, somebody, are you ready to be encouraged? Abar people are portrayed in the next generation. Tell your neighbor he's talking to me this morning. In the next generation of Israelites who were different than their fathers. Come on, somebody. How would we describe them? Well, number one is this, and this is what I want you to understand. It's important for your now year, for you to understand your now year and how you're going to see, you know, your 2020 vision, how you're going to see God do what you want him to do this year. Come on, somebody. How you're going to see God change you the way you want God to change you this year, 2020. Come on, somebody. Is there anybody here this morning that still wants to believe God for greater things within inside of your life and within inside of our church and within inside of our city? Will the real Slim Shady please stand up? Somebody, come on now. Y'all just want to know, I'm cool, I'm comfortable. I'm just going to be like this for the rest of my life. Come on, somebody. Nasa, we're done with that. We're talking about Abar now. So here it is. They accept and embrace changes and transitions. I'm telling you, it's vital. If you want to see God do everything that he's going to do in your life, this world now more than ever is a world of change. Oh yeah, it's a world of change. Like it or not, it's a world of change. The Bible's not going to change. Our principles are not going to change. God doesn't change. Our values don't change. Come on, somebody. Sin don't change. Come on, somebody. I don't know what I'm talking about. But But the world is changing. There's transitions and there are different things. And these people that are Abar people, that are crossover people, tell your neighbor, you better cross that river. They accept and embrace changes and transitions. For 40 years, man, they had followed a cloud, a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. But all of a sudden, they're told to follow the ark. And this wasn't the only change that was going to happen. Also, they were going to have new food, right? No more manna. How many know they could thank God for that, right? You ever been somewhere and you're like tired of the food already? I've been to a couple places. You're like, man, I'm tired of eating this food already. I need something with flavor. Okay, so they were going to have no more manna. They were going to have some new food. They were also going to have new land. They were going to have their own inheritance. How many want their own inheritance of what God promised you, your family? Come on, somebody. They are also going to have new homes. They were going to have permanent homes. They were going to be wanderers anymore, going from here to there. They were going to have their permanent homes that God was. How many want to be in that place where you are in that place where God has given you what He promised you and you're sitting and dwelling in it? Come on, somebody. But this blessing, it came at the blessing of the new came at a price. And the price was this, the letting go of the old. Come on, somebody. You know, I might not get a lot of amens in this message, but I'm trying to help you today to step into your now year. The price was letting go of the old. The price that they had to pay to step into the new was letting go of the old. Jesus described this problem perfectly when He said, you can't put new wine into old wineskins. Come on, somebody. In other words, if the old won't change, you can't put in none of the new inside of you. You'll catch that. I don't know if 12 o'clock midnight or June 3rd or June 23rd or March 2nd. I don't know when you're going to catch it, but you're going to catch it. Come on, somebody. You can't put new wine in. You can't. If the old won't change, Jesus was saying, I can't put none of the new inside of you. He says, if I put the new inside of you, you will burst. You can't put new wine into old wineskins. If it's the same old wineskin, the old wineskin is going to burst. Come on, somebody. I know it's talking about a little more theological stuff, but it's also giving us a picture that if the old, come on, somebody, doesn't change, then God cannot put something new inside of your life. My question to you this morning, what are the old things and the old ways inside of your life that God has been challenging you to change and you need to change them this year? Come on, somebody, so that God can give you the new that He wants to give inside of your life. You want the new, man. God, I want the new. I'm tired of the old. I want the new miracle. Well, you got to change the old. Because if God gives you the new in your old ways, you're not going to be able to handle it. You're going to get frustrated. I know I'm preaching to somebody this morning. I just preach to myself. Come on, somebody. You're going to get frustrated. You're going to get mad. You're going to get angry. You're going to want to give up. You're going to want to cuss somebody out or something. I don't know. You're going to want to get mad. Come on. You're going to want to blame somebody. You're going to want to do this and that because you're frustrated, because you're old, and you're trying to receive something new that you can't handle. But if you let God change you, if you let God mold you, if you let God do a work inside of your life, then God is able to pour the new thing that you've been asking Him to pour inside of your life. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a good hand clap if you want the new thing that God has for your life. Secondly was this, and I'm going to move quickly. They follow wherever the Lord leads them. These are Nasa people. No, Abar, I'm sorry. See, Hebrew. Gotta learn Hebrew. Okay. Seriously, though. The Abar people are people who follow the Lord wherever the Lord leads them. In other words, okay, well, what are you saying, Pastor Rob? Okay, I'm going to go there. All right? What are you saying? I'm having a hard time understanding. Okay, I'm going to give you understanding. Here's the understanding. Is that we've never done it that way before was not in their vocabulary. Oh, no. Come on. Come on, somebody. I hear you now. I feel like Hulk Hogan, Ray. You remember Hulk Hogan? I feel like Hulk Hogan. We've never done it that way before. Was not in their vocabulary. That's why they were crossover people. I'm just going to let that marinate. Just let it marinate right there. Just gonna let it marinate. Huh? If God said cross the river, then they cross the river. Someone said this. Someone put it like this. They said, okay, if God said take off your clothes and walk around naked for 3 years, you ask for two forms of ID because that's not God. I'll hit you later on. Here. But wherever the Lord leads, they follow. I said, wherever the Lord leads, they follow. Let me tell you how Paul told the Galatians. He said, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Come on, somebody. Today we don't have an ark to follow. We have the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us, who teaches us, who leads us, who guides us, who convicts us, who encourages us, who tells us to not give up, who tells us to not quit, who tells us to change and go forward. And God is going to show up with inside of your life. Do we ever want to say no to the Spirit? Of course not. And the third thing about Abar people is they expect God to do amazing things. God didn't disappoint them. Somebody say amen. Did he? Did he disappoint them? No, he didn't disappoint them. They crossed over the Jordan. Somebody say amen. They stood there. The priest stepped into the water. And the water at flood stage receded. A miracle as they stepped out in obedience to God. Somebody say step out. As the leaders stepped out first by example, and they put their feet, the moment that those priests' feet touched the water, that flood stage water, and they looked at this impossible river that they were supposed to cross, the moment their feet touched, the water began to recede all the way up to the banks of the river until they were able to cross over on dry ground. Come on, somebody, where they put some stones. Somebody say, that's a miracle. Tell your neighbor that's what God wants to do for you. The difference between Nassau people and Abar people is very simple. Nassau people live by sight. Abar people live by faith. Come on, somebody. What I want to say to you, Victor Outreach Pomona, is this. 2020, every day we stand on the bank of the river. Every day God is calling us to cross over to the other side. On the other side are the greatest blessings we could ever imagine. I said on the other side are the greatest blessings that we could ever imagine. To get to the other side, we got to cross the river. And there's the thing. It means we have to leave behind old ways. We've got comfortable too. How many people want to change? Well, how many people want to change? How many people don't want to stay the same? I want to know how many people don't want to stay the same. If you want to stay the same, you don't have to clap. But how many people don't want to stay the same? How many people want to change? How many people believe God has more for you? How many people believe God's not done with you? How many believe that even though God has done great things in your life, there are still greater things that are ahead for your life? Come on, I want you to stand this morning and give the Lord a good hand clap and give the Lord a shout of praise if you believe that God is not done with what he wants to do inside of your life. I want the worship team to come. I want you to stay standing this morning. Listen, God is not done with you yet. I said, God is not done with you yet. I came to let you know this morning that the devil is a liar. And God is not done with you yet. I don't care if you went around in the wilderness for 20 years. I want to let you know this morning that God is not done with you yet. I don't care if you fell 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, 6 times. I came to let you know this morning that God is not done with you yet. I don't care if the problems and the impossibilities that stand in front of you look impenetrable. It looks impossible. It looks like it can't change. It looks like it won't change. You've even tried and nothing happened. But I want to let you know this morning that God is not done with you yet. He's not finished. He's not finished. He's not finished. You know what it means? is leaving the place we got comfortable to and enter into a place where we've never been before. I wonder if I just had 20 people. Oh, you don't know what God can do with 20 people. If you only knew what God can do with 20 people, man, that were willing to leave their comfortable ways behind and step into a place where they've never been before. If I had 20 young people, man. If I had 20 young people that were willing to step to where they've never stepped before. If I had 20 people, 30 people, 40 people that were willing to leave the old behind and change their old ways and die to the old man and experience what they've never experienced before. Ray, if we just had that many people that were willing to step out. Oh, I know you've stepped out. Believe me, I know. Because I'm looking at miracles. I'm looking at miracles. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap. I know you're a miracle. I know you're a miracle. I know people said you would never change. I know that you never thought you would change. I know that when you stepped out, people were skeptical and they thought that you were going to go back to the old man, but you didn't. Come on, somebody. I know that you stepped out. I know God did a miracle. I know you're not the man you used to be. I know you're not the woman you used to be. I know God gets the glory through your testimony and through your life. But listen to me this morning. My job is not to just sit here and make you happy about the miracle that God already did. My job is to stand here and let you know that the miracles, that you're barely just scratching the surface, that the miracles are just barely beginning, that I don't want you to be sad. God doesn't just want you to be satisfied with the 1, 2, 3 miracles that he's already done in your life, that there's more miracles. There's 5, there's 10, there's 20. You ain't hearing me this morning. There's more miracles that God wants to do inside of your life. But to get to those miracles, experience those miracles, taste those miracles, 2020 vision, see those miracles. You have to be Abar people. You have to be cross the river people. People that are going to be willing to leave their old ways and their comfortable ways behind and step into the unknown and be obedient to God and risk something, risk something, risk something. Die to self. Bury the old man. Rise up with the new man. Be filled with the power of God. Be closer to God. You know, in your ability and my ability, it's impossible. I know it's impossible. The miracles don't come from you. They don't come from me. They come from God. I know for you it's not possible. For me it's not possible. But my Bible says that with God all things are possible. All things are possible. All things are possible. You know what it means? It means in 2020, it means stepping into a raging torrent of river and expecting God to do the impossible. Come on, somebody. You know what this now reminds us? That we're not yet where God wants us to be. That's the bottom line. We are not yet, church, Victor Outreach Pomona Church, hear me. Hear me. Hear me well. Hear me now. We are not yet where God wants us to be. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. God hasn't even entered into the heart of man the things that God has. And there's much more things that God wants to do. To Joshua, it meant there were rivers to cross. Man, I used to love that. When I was in the world, I don't know if he says any bad words in it, but it's a cool song, man. And Jimmy Cliff, he's an old, Jamaica guy. And he used to sing this song, Many Rivers to Cross. I can't sing. But it was called Many Rivers to Cross. And this morning, Joshua knew that there were rivers to cross. There were battles to fight. And there were promises to possess. The church this morning is standing at the banks of the river, looking across. On the other side are the good things that God has planned for us. And it's here and it's now. Tell your neighbor, it's my now year. And it's here and it's now that we need to hear God's message to get ready and to cross the river. My question to you this morning is, how many are ready to cross some rivers? How many are ready to fight some battles? And how many are ready to get some breakthroughs in 2020? Because it's my now year. It's your now year. And God wants to bring it to pass. I'm going to pray for you this morning. I'm going to open up these altars. But before I do, I want to ask you these two questions again. What do you want to do for God this year? And what do you want to see God do? Whatever that is, I want to open these altars and I want you to come.